you guys go have fun and the rest of you be seated. We're going to go quick here. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering first. So ushers, if you'll get ready, we'll just go ahead and receive it because I'm going to do this and then we'll start decorating. Praise the Lord. So Father, we thank you for every tither and every giver. You said, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And so we know that we have givers here. And I ask you to supply every need that they have for this Christmas. I thank you, Lord, that the tither has the devil rebuked. I thank you, Lord, if anything's been stolen, it's paid back in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy cannot get in the tither's life and do any harm in Jesus' name. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, brothers. Praise the Lord. Glad to see everybody home. Miss Margaret made it back from Alabama. Did you have a banjo on your knee when you went? Ron came back. He had fun where he was, wherever all y'all were. Arizona, all the people in Arizona are back here. Praise the Lord. Patty and Hector came back and left again. I don't get that, but praise the Lord. No, they're on their anniversary vacation, so praise God. Happy people. What? It's her birthday? No. Anniversary? It's y'all's tomorrow? Oh, happy anniversary. How many years now? 3 years.
Don't you remember?
Well, I remember being there right there with you. As well, now y'all are 2 years. 2 years. And then you got that little Elijah there. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so this is real easy. John 1:1. So what we're going to do, this is just, since we're going to be so brief, you're just going to get this, okay? Just going to do a little word study type thing here. But it's going to be good. You're going to like it. So in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, King James is so wordy, so let me read you a different translation. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was already with God in the beginning. Everything came into existence through Him. Not one thing that exists was made without Him. So this person, they're calling the Word, everything was made by Him. Amen. Okay. All right. So He was the source of life, and the life was the light for humanity, and the light shines in the dark, and the dark was never extinguished, has never extinguished it. Darkness can't put light out, but light can put dark out. Amen. All right. So this is going to be kind of interesting, and I hope you like it. This is my question. What does that mean? What does it mean, in the beginning was the Word? What does that mean? Now, we all know this. We know that John's talking about Jesus. But you know that because you've been studying Scripture for a long time. But, and why did the Word became flesh? So, you know, you could just go, okay, yeah, it was Jesus, and then He came into the world. But when you really start digging, what does that really mean, that the Word became flesh and that Jesus was the Word? Jesus is the Word. That's interesting. So the best way to study this would be that you would want to look at the meaning of the word. Okay. And so this word here actually is the word logos. Okay. Now, so we know that there are many meanings for the word. The word. That's interesting. But we especially know these two. There's another one that some of my cohorts use, but we basically know logos and rhema. Okay? We know, y'all do? Y'all know logos and rhema. Okay. So we would say that logos is the written word and rhema is the spoken word. So when you see what Mary said, when she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. That's a rhema. She's speaking an anointed word. Okay. Now, preaching is rhema. It's speaking an anointed word. Okay. According to Ephesians 6, where you see the armor of God, there's something called the sword of the Spirit. That is rhema. The sword is a spoken word. You know, you may have grown up. I did. I grew up and they said, get your sword out. We're going to have a sword drill. But this is really the loin belt of truth. This is the loin belt. The sword is this coming out your mouth. And so, but you had to let things unfold to learn that. Because wherever you were a long time ago, they just didn't know. But as you progressed in life, you found out this is the loin belt, which keeps everything, keeps all the equipment on you. This keeps all the equipment on you. Okay, so Jesus resisted the devil with rhema in the wilderness. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, it is written, it is said. So he's resisting with rhema. So you need rhema to put faith in action. And, but you get that rhema from the Logos. Right? You had to go in here and you had to read it and receive it and then speak it out your mouth and then you were in faith. Okay, so we get that. Now, so if Jesus is the Logos, what does that mean? And so here's what I want to get across to you. Logos is more of a philosophical meaning. It has more of a philosophical meaning. Because here in John 1, it's going to imply this. And if you get this, you're already going to catch on to what I'm going to tell you. It would imply the total message. So Jesus is the message. In the beginning was the message. Come on. And so what do we see? God is a spirit. He had prophets speaking all the time. Old Testament, the prophets were speaking. But the people still just couldn't grasp him. They couldn't grasp him. So what did he do? He sent the message. Get it? He sent. Now, he didn't. Here's the interesting thing. He didn't send the messenger. He sent the message. Jesus is the message. He is it. He's the message. And so that's what's so important here. The word became flesh. Or the message became flesh. Now let's go a little deeper. In the beginning was the word. Now John 1 reads exactly like Genesis 1. In the beginning. In the beginning. So Genesis is Bereshit in Hebrew. And Arche is in the beginning in Greek. And so the Holy Spirit then through John has a special intention here. What he's doing is the word is connected to the creator of all things. Remember what he said when you dropped down there, that all things were created by him. There wasn't anything that wasn't created by him. It's all created by him. So he's saying this message is the one who created everything. Okay. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So the word is connected then to the creator of all things. And so it goes on to say, and this is what it would be like. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The word is the sole means by which reality finds existence. Everything came into existence by the message, by the word. It's a person. It's a person, but he's the message. Okay. You're going to get it as we go. Now, so you remember how we talked on Sunday that the Bible's so layered. It's so layered that when you begin to study it, you begin to open it up like a brochure. And you saw that shalom was peace. But then you saw shalom was nothing missing, nothing broken. But then you saw that shalom meant the ability to take down the authority that causes chaos. So over the years, you learn deeper and deeper and deeper things. And so this needs to become deeper to us. And so when you look into it, you start getting the sense of things that are different. So If we look at who John is writing to, we're going to see something. And that's what I wanted to show you. Because he's writing to the Jews and to the Greeks. Am I right? Yeah. Okay, so and then you would be the Greek. Now, but you're not. Now you're engrafted in, but you would have been. Okay, so to the Jew, they read this and they say creator and communicator. Right? Yeah. That's what they're saying. That's the creator. That's the communicator. But to the Greek, they see the concept to identify the reason, or what's an easier way to say that to you? It would be like words utilized to explain the thinking of the one who's saying it. Like they're saying, John is using this to tell us something. Yeah. That's how the Greek mind would think. They're more philosophy. So they're basing it on it's on a communication level, but it's a little deeper than that. And so they're seeing it those two ways. But then here's, I won't say who wrote Hebrews. You probably all have opinions about that. Brother Hagin says the Apostle Paul wrote it. So I'm going to have to go with Brother Hagin. Pastor John didn't think so, but we'll go with Brother Hagin, I think, on this one. But God, Hebrews 1:1 says this, now this is, you'll fully get it right here, everything we're talking about. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Okay. Hath in these days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So he tags on there. He's telling us God's speaking to everyone now by the message, by Jesus himself. He's speaking to him, but he tags on there. And by the way, Jesus made the world. Yeah. Isn't that good? So the Apostle Paul, or whoever you think wrote Hebrews, actually got that. They understood that. They could see it like we see it. This is not news to you, but I'm just trying to give you a little different version of this and a little deeper. So the word manifested, the third person of the Godhead, who was the, now listen, he's the creative power, he's the communicative power, and he's all power. And he manifested, so making, okay, here it is, the revelation in full view. It's now, John's saying, hey, everything the prophet said is now in full view. That's what John's saying. He's saying the message has now come to you in the flesh. This is the message. Okay. Now, here's something interesting that you know, but I thought I'd bring this up to you so you could think about this and meditate on it this week. The interesting thing about the word in Hebrew is that it's dibar, but it means word, but it means thing. Y'all know that. Okay. So a word is a thing. Now, if you're a faith person, you can see that. If you use a word, it can turn into a thing. Yeah. Either way.
That's right.
I'm catching a cold. You can turn into that. Yeah. Or I now have my new car. It could turn into that.
That's right.
Or I'm healed. It can turn into that. But words turn into things. God said, let there be light. Turned into light. God said, let's make the stars in the sky. Turned into stars. Whatever he said was happening. But guess who was doing that? The third person in the Godhead. Jesus is doing that.
Amen.
Don't try to rub your head right now. You get it. Okay. So words turn into things. Now listen to Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. We know about that. That happened in the beginning over the void place. The Holy Spirit hovered. Now the Holy Spirit's going to hover over Mary. And when she says, be it done unto me according to thy word, the Holy Ghost is going to go, bam! And manifestation will happen about like what we talked about Sunday. Conception. Conception is when the miracle happens, not when we see Elijah, when they carry him in here in his little carrier, not when he's there at the hospital and we're all crying and the baby's here and everything. No, he's already here. He's already here. The miracle, that's right. The miracle has already happened when you said it and Holy Spirit hovered. That's why everybody ought to start speaking in tongues when they get prayed for.
Yeah.
It really is. Because the Holy Spirit starts hovering, and if you'll get out of your mind, you'll start praying in tongues. I just had to throw that in. I gotta hurry. Okay. So, the word became a thing. Oh good, my last page. Now, so, well y'all, I gotta be faithful here. Okay. So, words make particles, and particles make things. Okay. Words are seeds. Seeds are containers. Seeds are planted, and they take root. They take root. So, they then bring forth what? A harvest. Okay. So then let's ask this as we're about to close here. Who was Jesus before he was planted in Mary? Let's ask it that way. Who was Jesus before he was planted in Mary? Because as soon as he's planted in Mary, he became flesh. Right? Okay. Are y'all here?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so here's the, I'm going to give you Ned in the first grade. Okay. This is the easiest way to help somebody understand this. I practiced on Deb and she went, oh yeah, that's good. Okay. So here it is. So Holy Spirit, back up. God the Father he's the judge. He makes decisions and he's the dreamer. He comes up with the ideas. Okay. That's God the Father. Jesus creates what Father wants. Okay. Holy Spirit empowers and nurtures the creations. And that's as easy as it all is. Father comes up with the idea. Now he's the judge. He's the one. He the boss. And then he says, we're going to do this. And then Jesus is the Word. He's the Word. And so he's the message. And so what he did was, when he manifested on earth, he's saying this, Father, I came and showed them who you are. That's who the Word is. The Word is God. Church, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, and even this, it's all God. It's all God. Now they're the three, and then this is God talking to you written. But they all three work together in such perfect harmony. So in the beginning was the Word. He was there speaking, let there be light. He was the speaker. So he was representing. So then he finally just came so that we'd all get it. Because everything you see about Jesus is how Father is. Sweet, love children, wise, brilliant, and did miracles every day. And is good. Jesus is good and went about doing good. So he represents the Father. So in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the message. And Deb said they learned years ago that one of their teachers said in the beginning was the reason. He is the reason. So that's good too. Praise the Lord. She was telling me, a friend of hers was telling her that. So when John said in the beginning was the Word, he said in the beginning, the third person of the Godhead, that created, existed, and he became the message so that everybody would know what God was like. That's what it is. The third person of the God. He wasn't created at conception. His flesh was, but his spirit came. Yeah. Just like when Elijah was conceived, his spirit came from heaven. That's right. A little light went off. Boom. I mean, he was standing up there with his spiritual suitcase going, I'm going, I'm ready. Let me go. And he's going to, boom. Hey, get the whole picture. You can't remember, but you were there. You were. It happened just like that for you. Amen. Jesus is the word, church. Jesus is the word. He is the message. And that's as simple as what that means. You don't have to wonder. You have to go, how could he have been the word and a person? Because he's the person before he's the word. He is the whole message of who he, here's who he is. I am. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this person. We thank you for the anointing. Father, I thank you that you are Father God and you are a dreamer. And I thank you that Jesus creates what you want. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit empowers and nurtures those creations in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. So shall we Father out and then do it? Yeah. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Every